stepping into his promise, stepping into his plans and his purpose, but stepping into his promise for your life. And I'm excited to share what the Lord has on my heart today and from Scripture. We're going to be talking about Joshua. He's one of my favorite characters in the Bible. So let's pray as we get into the Word. Lord, we thank you again. Father, we recognize you, your presence here in this place as King of Kings and Lord of Lords. God, for the next few moments, open our ears, open our hearts. God, reveal truth to us. Challenge us, Lord, with your word today. Encourage us with your word today. God, may we leave from this place different than we came in because of your presence and because of your word. God, even as a pastor, I recognize my need for you today, Lord. In my weakness, Jesus, you are strong. And so, God, I thank you that you it's all about you. And so, God, we love you and we praise you in your precious name. Amen. Hey, just a quick question. Do you know that pastors are real people? Yeah. So I want to encourage you guys to pray often for our team, pray often for me and our leadership team and our board. We deal with all the same things that you guys deal with as well. And so sometimes that can get really difficult and really hard. And I'm thankful for the Lord. I'm thankful for a praying church. I'm thankful for a supportive ministry team and board. But your prayers for your church and your leadership are important. So thank you, thank you. And they're needed. So today I'm excited to share with you. So imagine this, all right? You're at the airport. You have a ticket to your dream destination. Anybody interested? Oh, yeah. Right? You're packed. You've planned. Your flight is all ready. You are literally all set. But you stand there and you don't board the plane. You have everything you need. You're all excited. You see, you're holding your dream destination, if you can get there, but you stand there frozen. Why? Well, maybe you're afraid to fly. Maybe you've never flown before. Maybe you don't trust. We've seen a lot in the news lately with planes, right? So maybe you don't trust what's going on. Maybe you've had a bad experience before, or maybe you just don't know what's ahead, even though it's beautiful. It's a destination, you've wanted to go on this vacation, but you don't know what is ahead. And so instead of moving forward, you just stand there, frozen. I think that's how many of us are in our life, even as it relates to our calling. We know there's more that God has for us. We see it, but many of us are frozen in it. We're stuck. We sense it. Other people have confirmed it, but we're terrified to move forward. We hesitate and we stay stuck. Here's the thing, you guys. You and I, we were made for more. Not just to survive life, okay? We're not here just to survive, but to step into the promise of God. We're made for more than just survival, more than just success. We're made to live a life immeasurably more than we could hope or imagine. But that's only done in Christ and through Christ. Amen? Turn with me to Joshua chapter 1. We're not going to read it right now. We'll read it here in a minute. But this story, this account of Joshua, he was standing on the edge of something new. He was afraid, terrified, but he knew he was called of God. All right, let me give you a little backstory before Joshua chapter 1. In Exodus, God had delivered the Israelites from slavery under Moses. All right, you all remember Moses, right? They received the law at Mount Sinai. They constructed the tabernacle in Exodus, right? They wandered around the desert for many years, 40 years, as a result of them not obeying, all right? During this time, though, even though they were wandering around and Moses was leading, I can't imagine, that would be so frustrating, 40 years. You think you're waiting on God? Ooh. God continued, though, to provide for them manna and water and leadership, all right? Moses even had an opportunity where he disobeyed God and struck the rock, And that made him not be able to enter into the promised land. See, the Israelites were going to head to the promised land, and Moses was going to lead them there, but because Moses disobeyed God, he was not going to make it to the promised land. Joshua became Moses' assistant. He also was, if you remember, one of the faithful spies, right? There were two spies that went out, and Joshua came back. You see, God had personally chosen Joshua to lead the people after Moses. But as you'll see in this scripture that we look at, he wasn't so sure that this was what needed to happen. Let's look at Joshua chapter 1. Look with me. It'll be on the screen as well. I'm going to read from the New Living Translation. All right. So after the death of Moses, so again, Moses has already passed away, the Lord spoke to Joshua, son of Nun, Moses' assistant, and he said, "Moses, my servant, is dead. Therefore, the time has come for you to lead." Some of you in here, that is for you, right? The time has come for you to lead these people, the Israelites, across the Jordan River into the land I am giving them. So here, God begins to call Joshua and tell him what he wants him to do. Lead these people. He's been assisting Moses. He's been watching it the whole time. Now Moses is dead, and now Joshua has to take the mantle of leadership and continue to take the Israelites on into the promised land. And not only that, they've got to cross the Jordan River, right? Verse 3 says, "I promise you what I promised Moses. Wherever you set your foot, you will be on land I have given you." God is taking care of him as he's calling him out. He's saying, "I'm going to take care of you. I'm going to be with you. You're not going to be on your own. The same things I promised Moses, I'm promising you. From the Negev wilderness in the south to the Lebanon mountains in the north, from the Euphrates River in the east to the Mediterranean Sea in the west, including all of the land of the Hittites, no one will be able to stand against you as long as you live." I don't know about you, that's a pretty incredible promise. Yeah, he's being called to do all this. The Lord's like, "Listen, I got you. I'm going to take care of it. Everywhere you go, you're going to have dry land. Anything that comes against you, I'm going to take care of." You'd think he'd be like, "Okay, we got this." But even still, he was struggling with this call. "No one will be able to stand against you as long as you live." That's beautiful. "For I will be with you as I was with Moses." Again, the promise of being with him. He's going to take care of it. As he was with Moses, he will be with Joshua. "I will not fail you or abandon you." Some of you need to hear that today. The Lord is saying to you, "I will not fail you, not going to abandon you wherever you're at, what you're going through. I'm with you. I'm going to take care of it." As I was reading this, the Lord reminded me that this message is for me as well as for you guys. These reminders, these promises, at every area of life, we need to be reminded of who God is and what he's calling us to do in life, and that he's got it, that he's the provider, and that he's going to take care of it. Isn't that beautiful that he speaks to us, even from these historical accounts from so long ago? As we continue on in Joshua, scripture says, "Be strong and courageous." Joshua needed that. "For you are the one who will lead these people to possess all the land I swore to their ancestors. Strong and courageous." I was asking the Lord, I've been emotional today, and God is good, right? And I was asking him, I'm like, "Lord, how am I going to get through the message today?" So, apologize, but the Lord is good, right? Verse 6, "Be strong and courageous, for you are the one who will lead these people to possess all the land I swore to their ancestors." Verse 7, again, he says it again, "Be strong and very courageous," right? Again, realizing that he needs this encouragement at this moment. Be strong and very courageous. Be careful to obey all the instruction Moses gave you. Do not deviate from them, turning either to the right or to the left. Then you will be successful in all that you do. You want to know how to be successful? Follow the Lord, meditate on his scripture, stay in alignment with him, and he will take care of it. Again, that's what he's promising Joshua. He's promising what Joshua watched Moses do. God worked with the Israelites. Joshua saw it all. And God is saying to him, I too am doing the same for you today. You guys, do you see how that promises for us in our life, in our situation? You may not be leading millions of people in a desert to cross the Red Sea, the Jordan River, but you got stuff that's going on that you need God to help you with. And he's speaking through his word today to you that he's got you. He's not going to abandon you. He's not going to leave you. He's speaking to those that are discouraged. Be strong and courageous. Be strong and very courageous. Amen? Are you with me? All right, you may fall asleep. If you're falling asleep, the person next to you needs to nudge you, because this is good stuff in scripture, all right? Then you will be successful in all that you do. Verse 8, study this book of instruction continually, talking about the word. Meditate on it day and night, so you will be sure to obey everything written in it. Only then, will you prosper and succeed in all you do. Nothing in the world will work. Only scripture, only Jesus, only his way will you find success in all you do. Last verse. This is my command. Command is something that's not just, hey, just do this. No, it's expected. Be strong and courageous. Do not be afraid or discouraged, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. Anybody need to hear that today? Can you just raise your hand so I know I'm not the only one? It's the word. It speaks to us. Truth. Don't be afraid. Don't be discouraged. The Lord is with you. See, God speaks in transition. Moses was dead. The time had come for Joshua to lead. Joshua calls him after a loss. He's going through grief. Moses was his mentor, and he's gone. And now Joshua's going, I got to walk in those footsteps. He's grieving. He's uncertain. But God speaks clearly. You guys, God's speaking clearly in your life right now. It may be a graduation. It might be a loss of a job. Maybe it's a fresh start. Maybe it's been a recent death. But God is speaking. Sometimes that's when he speaks the loudest or the best. Thank you. My lovely daughter, thank you. Thank you, Anna. But that's where God speaks the loudest, oftentimes, is in these spaces. God doesn't wait to comfort you, to call you forward. He can call you in the deepest pain. He speaks in the middle of change, and he's calling out to you today, just like he's calling out to Joshua. God keeps his promise. Again, through scripture, verses 3 and 5. I promise you what I promised Moses. No one will be able to stand against you. I will not fail you or abandon you. God keeps the promise. We can stand on that as well today. It wasn't just for Joshua, but it's for us today. You see, Joshua's not starting from scratch. He's stepping into something that God had already declared. He had already told Moses about the promised land and where he was going to lead the Israelites. Joshua just had to step into that leadership. The land was already promised. God was already giving it to him. Joshua just needed to obey and walk it out. God's promises don't expire with people or with seasons. What he started, he intends to finish in you regardless. So God keeps his promise. We can trust that. In verses 6 and 7 and 9, courage is commanded. Again, he's not saying, hey, you might want to think about being courageous. No, he commands it. Be strong and courageous. Do you think he understands? I mean, there's a real enemy out there that talks all the time, tries to get you to think about how terrible you are, how worthless you are, how the sin you did last week keeps you from God. Like, the enemy just does this. So he has to remind us to be strong and to be courageous. So much so that in Scripture, he says it three times. When God, in Scripture, when things are repeated, that means we need to pay attention. There's a reason. It's not a suggestion, but it's a command. Why? Because fear is real. We all deal with fear in this world, in this life. It's a very real thing. But even though that is real, and God is bigger. And he says, I will be with you, so you don't need to be afraid. It's easier said than done, right? But this is the God we're talking about. We can trust him. He enabled Joshua to step into that role. He's going to enable you to whatever God is calling you in this season. But you've got to step into that promise. Courage isn't about having no fear. It's about choosing faith in the middle of the fear because God is with you. Say to your neighbor right now, God is with you. God is with you. I think we forget that sometimes, right? In the middle of our pain, in the middle of the chaos of life, we forget he is with us. Just like a child in a crowd may feel nervous, right? But if they're holding their hands of their parents, they can keep walking and feel safe. That's the same with Jesus. As long as you hang on to his hand, it doesn't matter. He's security, he's safety, he's shelter, he's refuge. It's the moments that we let go and we wander off and do our own thing, and then we're like, oh, I'm in a big mess. Just make your way back to Jesus. That's what God's presence is like. We've experienced God's presence today in multiple ways. Did you guys sense that today in worship in other ways? Like, God is speaking. God is here today. We experience confidence through connection with the Lord. So courage is commanded. In verse 8, success is tied to obedience. If you want to be a successful person, you want to live a life of significance, then you need to obey. Trust the Lord and obey. It says, study the book of instruction continually. Meditate on it day and night. Only then will you prosper and succeed in all you do. You know, there are so many self-help books and leadership books on how to be the best this or that and do this and you'll become. Guys, we have everything that we need for life and holiness, relationships. We have it all here in the Word of God. If we would just dive in, if we would just immerse ourselves in it. Success is tied to obedience. God doesn't tell Joshua to be charismatic or strategic. He tells him to be rooted in the Word of God. And out of that, success will come. There's a lot of lessons that we can learn from this passage. True success is not about what you build, but it's about who you follow. If your life is rooted in God's word, you'll walk in his success, even in the hard seasons. So I have a few minutes left, and I just want to tell us a little bit. So how do you step into more, right? We're made for more. Great, that's awesome. How do we step into that, right? First thing is this, face your fears. Whatever you're afraid of, face into them. You might need prayer, you might need counseling, whatever. Whatever that is, face into those fears. Joshua had plenty of reasons to be afraid, but God gives him a reason to move forward, which is his presence. There's been many times in my life where I've had to face into fears of what God has called me to, and when my saying, yes, God, what are you doing? I referenced this before when I was a staff pastor at my former church, and all of a sudden there became this season where God began to shake me and say, listen, I'm calling you because I want you to lead a church. And I remember being like, yeah, no, I'm good here. I'm good being a staff pastor and let somebody else take the heat. I like, you know. And that began a conversation of well over a year, probably a year and a half of, I call it negotiation. Because I knew the cost of that. I knew the price of that. And I was real comfortable. But when God begins to call, you have two options. You can obey or disobey. And I've realized that disobeying is not helpful, and ultimately he wins anyways, and so I might as well just give in ultimately first, you know. And so I'm thankful, but even in those moments, you have to step into fear. There were so many things in saying yes to God's call, even to leave our former church and our former area and to come here. There was so much fear in that. that the scripture says, be strong and courageous, right? You follow me, I'll take care of you. God promised Joshua that. He promised me that. He promises you that. Whatever that is for you, you don't have to feel brave. You just have to trust that God is with you, that he's going to take care of you. Psalm 56, 3 and 4 says, but when I am afraid, I will put my trust in you. I've leaned on that so many times. Through the years of pastoring here, there's been so many times where I've like, Lord, are you sure about this? And he brings me back to our conversations and our negotiations. And like Joshua, he promised me few things. He said, I'll take care of you. I'll bring you the resources that you need. I'll bring you the people that you need. He promised me that. And so I said, okay. I think that's why I love this passage so much. I relate to Joshua. All right, Lord, then if you're going to do this, I'll obey. I'll say yes. And there's been many a times in fear and, you know, COVID hit and all these things, I went back to the Lord and gone, you remember you said you were going to take care of, you were going to provide. And he has. He's taken care of all along the way. Doesn't mean it wasn't stressful. Doesn't mean we didn't have to pray. Doesn't mean we didn't have to wait for his timing. But God has taken care of so many things in my life. Because you know what? I've faced fears. I've stepped into things that were terrifying. When God calls you, you can obey or disobey. And that's your choice. If you disobey, you're going to wander around for 40 years like the Israelites. Those are the choices we make. And with our choices come consequences. All right? But I want to encourage you today, face your fear. One of my favorite quotes is, jump and grow your wings on the way down. God's got you. Before you hit, you'll grow your wings and you'll fly. Amen? You guys with me still? We're almost done. Number two, all right? So face your fears. Number two, heal. Heal. Heal from your past. Heal from your current state. Heal from your heal. You got to heal. All of us have pain. All of us have wounds. All of us grew up with a family of origin. All of us have been hurt throughout life. You might have been hurt just last week. Like, pain is raw and it's real and we live in it because guess what? We're flawed humans. I know everywhere you go, it's all around. Again, you have a choice. You can choose to not heal or you can choose to heal. But if you want to move over, if you want to move on, step into God's promises, you got to face your fear, but you also have to heal from your past. In verse 2, it says, Moses, my servant, is dead. Now then, you and all these people get ready to cross. Isaiah 43, 18 and 19 says, forget all that. It's nothing compared to what I'm going to do. God had to make it clear that Moses was done. Moses' leadership, he could no longer lean on him. That season was over. It's a new season. It's time to move on. It's time to let your grief be done for Joshua. Time to stand up, be strong and courageous, and move into what God has for you. So there's a question for you. Are you still living in yesterday's pain or regret? You don't have to say it out loud, just think about it. Are you still living in yesterday's pain or regret? You can honor the past, but you can't stay stuck in it. I mean, you can, it's just not going to be very fun. God is calling you forward. God is calling you to heal. Now, that might take a lot of time. I'll tell you the pain in my life, and it took years and years and years of forgiveness and counseling. When you've had things happen to you and done to you or whatever, like, that's not just something you just, oh, get over. No, there's a lot of process and a lot of healing, but God is a healer, and he wants to heal. But often we hold on to our pain. And we don't want to let it go, right? Because it's become our identity. And Jesus is saying, let go, heal from your past. If you want to move forward, you gotta let the pain go. It's not easy. But God is calling you forward. Have you ever tried this? Try to move forward while staring in the rearview mirror? Can't. You're gonna crash. You've got to face forward to drive into your future. You got to look ahead. So you got to heal from your past. And then the last thing is this, trust God and move forward. Trust God and move forward. Verse 3 says, wherever you set your foot, you will be on the land I have given you. Ephesians 2:10 has been a part of this whole series. We are God's masterpiece, created to do the good things he's planned for us long ago. All right, it's 12, so we're good. Thank you. I appreciate that. It's helpful. We are God's masterpiece, created to do good things he's planned for us long ago. The land was already promised, right? Joshua just had to walk it out. But God didn't give him a full map. He won't give you a full map. One step at a time, faith, trust. Just like with a flashlight, you walk in the dark, right? And all you have is just a little bit of a circle, just enough to see the next step. But that's enough with Jesus. Trusting God means moving even when you can't see everything. Amen? Ephesians 3:20, and this is the last scripture. You guys know it well. Now all glory to God who is able, through his mighty power at work within us, to accomplish infinitely more than we might ask or think. And I actually have a song, Jordan, so you're good. Now all glory to God who is able, through his mighty power at work within us, to accomplish infinitely more than we ask or imagine. You see, Joshua's story is our story. God is calling you something in this season. Calling you to move forward. Calling you to heal from your past. You are made for more. His promise still stands. It's not too late and you're not too broken to say yes. But you've got to face your fears, right? You've got to heal from your past and you've got to trust God and move forward. As we conclude this time, I'm going to play a song and I'm going to pray. And I wasn't planning on playing this song. Actually, it changed when I got here today. But in my life, when I was a young person and the Lord was working in my life and healing and forgiving and letting go, and when God was calling me, I didn't see how that was all going to work out. Have you ever, like, how's my testimony ever going to be anything that, like, is good, right? There was a space in my life in my high school years. I just didn't see it. And I didn't really feel that I was enough. I didn't really feel, I knew God was calling me to things, but I was like, ugh. Are you sure you don't need someone else? And I came across this song. So again, this is, we're talking 90s, all right? Well, maybe even before that, yeah. Late 80s, early 90s. I came across this song by Stephen Curtis Chapman. And it became, and still is to this day, just a banner for my life, a call to remember to what he's called me to and that he's got it and that it's bigger than I can ever see or I can imagine. That if I just trust him, if I walk in it, that's all that matters. That's all that matters. And so on the way here today, I was like, you know what? I'm going to play this song. And so if you guys will oblige me, just close your eyes. And I want you just to listen to the lyrics. All right? The song is called Way Beyond the Blue. The Father is calling me. And here's the thing. He's calling some of you today, too. And I just want you to open your heart. Close our eyes, let's listen to the song, and then I'm going to pray.